You're listening to the Calvary Church audio experience, designed to empower and encourage you throughout your week.
Hey, what's up, Calvary fam? Do me a favor, just tell that person on the right and left, don't spit on them when you say it, but just say real quick, say, you don't look like you lost an hour. Come on, tell them real quick. You don't look like you lost an hour. Don't touch your neighbor. Just tell them, you don't look like you lost an hour. What's up, fam? You look good. So glad to see you on this weekend here at Calvary. And I'm going to tell you something you got to know. Some of you already know, but whenever you hear Ben Daly preach, I don't know about every preacher, but whenever you hear Ben Daly preach, I have made a commitment to two things. And it's this. Whenever I talk, one, you're going to hear the good news. And there will always be an opportunity, number two, for the good invitation. The good news is not something, it's someone, it's Jesus. He's the greatest news in the world. The good invitation is rest. The flavor of faith is rest. As a matter of fact, I want you to do me a favor. I just want you to lift your hands and close your eyes and take a deep breath. Would you do that? Matter of fact, take about three. I want to give you some time just to let your heart slow down a little bit. Let God take care of the world. Just a few moments, just stop. Let God take care of the economy. Let God take care of the virus. Let God take care of the presidential polls and all the pundits. Let God take care of the world. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at, I love this, His word, just to rest. There's a word you don't hear. Just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Say that name. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust, how I prove Him. Say that name. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Here it is. Oh, for grace to trust Him. Oh, and I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that He is with me. This is good news. He'll be with me till the end. Lift those hands and say, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust, how I know Him more and more. Say, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all for grace. Come on. If you believe it, just stand to your feet, sing it together, say, Jesus. precious Jesus. One more time, every voice say, Jesus. One more time, there's something on it. One more time, say, Jesus, Jesus. Say that again. Oh, for grace to trust. One more time, we say, oh, for grace. Take one of your hands, set it on your heart, say it out loud. Say, eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mouth to confess. All of the good things. Come on, y'all, talk to me. Say, all the good things Christ has already provided for me. You can be seated. Well, it's week two of this five-part series that I've called The Hustle Is Over. I didn't say the hustle is real. I said the hustle is over. And I know you're probably familiar with the shell game, you know, the one where a con artist on the street cheats you out of your money. And what does he do? He moves them shells around while you're trying to keep track of which shell has the ball under it. And you think you've got it figured out, but when the shell is lifted up, the ball is gone and so is your money. And sometimes I'll tell you, that's an example, but dealing with personal finances can feel like that. You ever felt like you've been hustled? We feel hustled. We're trying to keep up with the bills. We're trying to keep up with the expenses. We're trying to keep up with the taxes. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And it seems like the more we hustle to keep up, the more we are getting hustled. But I've got good news for you, and I get it. In a world that's full of bad news and bad advice and bad opinions, here's one thing you can be assured of. Every time we gather at Calvary Church, you're going to get good news. And the good news is this, that God has a plan for your freedom. As a matter of fact, I told you that March is going to be a month of freedom. I don't care what's going on in this world. March is going to be a month of freedom, and I'm declaring freedom in your finances. So I came to declare that the hustle is over. And I told you last week that grace will take you places that hustling can't. And I mentioned last week that in reality, our money isn't our money, it's God's money. And we saw that everything belongs to Him. Everything we have in our possession at any given time comes from Him. And what did I say we are? I told you we are managers. We are stewards, or we are administrators of God's stuff. God's stuff. It's God's stuff. He's letting us steward His stuff. Watch this. Yes, you are a son in the kingdom. Don't miss this. But you are also a steward. Yes, you were saved from something. But watch this. It's time to grow up in grace. The next dimension of grace is this. Yes, you were saved from something. But you better know you were also saved for something. And so the first teaching in this series I called, He Owns It, We Use It. As a matter of fact, let's say that together. Say, He owns it. Say, we use it. Come on, wake up, y'all. And because that's true, what did I tell you? Come on, we are blessed. That means we can live generously because we know that He has blessed us. And I just came today to remind you that you are blessed, watch this, to be a blessing. And if you missed last week's teaching, you better start using that Calvary Church app. You can download it at the App Store, one word, Calvary Church CC. You can go to the website, calvarychurch.cc, and stay up to date on this series. But today we want to probe a little deeper into another theme that emerges from Luke 12. I want you to go to Luke 12, and here's the idea this week. I'm going back to Luke 12. I was going to leave Luke 12, but I decided to stay in Luke 12 because there's a word for you today. But here's the word: He's faithful, so don't worry. Last week was He owns it, we use it. This week, watch, He's faithful, so don't worry. Matter of fact, say that with me. Say, He's faithful, don't worry. Try it again. He's faithful, so don't worry. And I get it, y'all. There are all kinds of roadblocks that keep us from everything that God's designed for our lives, all the good things. I'm telling you. And it keeps us, there's roadblocks that keep us from even handling what God has given to us. And when we talk about money, I could talk about people dealing with insecurity and pride and idolatry and greed and envy and lack of knowledge and lack of faith. We could go on and on. But what we're going to see today is, I think, one of the greatest deterrents, one of the most common roadblocks to living the life that we were meant to live. I'm talking about a life that is free and full. I'm talking about a life that is overflow. It's a life of generous love. And that is the roadblock, here it is, of worry. And I can tell just by looking at some of you today, you know what I'm talking about. But that worry monster, I wanna stand up against that worry monster today. And you know what I'm talking about. For some of you, it's the one that's been sitting on your shoulder all week long. Matter of fact, he's been pushing on your chest all night long and you hadn't been able to sleep. That worry monster will hustle us, try to hurt us, try to harass us. So we're going to look at our Bibles and Luke 12 because we're picking up. I can't believe this. I just decided to pick up where we left off. Last week we stopped at verse 21 and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to keep going because it's so good. Let's just keep reading at verse 22. And remember, we left off where? Jesus tells a crowd a parable. A parable is an ordinary earthly story with an extraordinary heavenly meaning. It's a story. A parable is a story. So Jesus told a story, remember, about a rich fool who is selfish with his resources. And then he continues speaking to the same group of Jewish people. And we know that this group of people, they were suffering in poverty. And so we pick up at verse 22, after condemning greed, and now what does he do? Now he's going to deal with the worry monster. And look what he does beginning at 22. He says, follow along. Therefore I tell you, I'm going to read this because it's so good. I'm going to read all of it. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, about your body, what you're going to wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the birds. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? One translation says this: be carefree in the care of God. When you know that you are in the care of God every day, you can live every day carefree. Verse 25, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Matter of fact, you lost an hour. Since you cannot do this very thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, Jesus says. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, this king in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more is he going to clothe and take care of you? Oh, you of little faith. 29, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world, this world we live in, runs after all such things. And your Father, listen, He knows, church, what you need. So seek first the kingdom, the King and His kingdom, And these things will be given to you as well. Do not, this is a word right here. Verse 32 is a word for you. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. You've got it. Sell your possessions. Give, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail. Where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So there you have it right there. Jesus says an awful lot in these verses, and we're going to look at just a few of these powerful, timeless reminders of how we can rise above worry when it comes to this area. I know we're dealing with every area, but specifically money, when it comes to money, because we've all been there. As a matter of fact, some of you are worried right now. We've been worried about money from time to time, one time or another. Some of you worried right now, some level, you're worried. But if you're following in your notes, there's some good things I want to give you, and I'm calling it the ways to stop that worry monster's hustle in your life. The hustle's over. So this first one, we're just going to walk this text quickly. The first one, write it down. Church, you got to realize that worry has no power to cure your money problem. Is that right? Matter of fact, worry has no power to cure any other problem for that matter. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus highlights two realities in these verses, which are very, very important things. And these things you got to get a hold of, because I think these are the things that worry will obscure in our lives. Some of you don't know this because you're so worried, but put it down anywhere in your notes. The first one is this, that God is the ultimate source of provision for his entire creation. Don't miss that. I'm talking about you and me. He is the source of provision for his entire creation. I'm talking about from largest to smallest, greatest to least, macro to micro. God provides for his creation. He is on it. He is over it. He is in it. And no details escape him. So God's the ultimate source. But here's the other thing you need to get a hold of, church, and it's this, that God is our Father. He's not just some distant machine that you think is sitting out there in the cold, meaningless universe. No, he knows what you need, and he knows how to provide what you need. And I want to show you what I mean. In verse 24, he says what? Hey, church, consider the birds. Look at how God provides food for them. Birds don't worry. I've never seen a bird on anti-anxiety medication. Look at how God provides for them. And later, verse 27, he says what? Consider the flowers in the wild. Look how God clothes them with such beauty. And what is Jesus doing here? I'll tell you what he's doing. He is making an argument from lesser to greater. Because after he mentions the ravens, I got a word for you today. He concludes his thought with the rhetorical question, how much more valuable are you, church, than the birds? And after he talks about the flowers, he says what? How much more will your heavenly Father clothe and take care of you? Oh, those three awesome words right there, they ought to change everything, church, when you begin to realize how much more. As a matter of fact, I want to hear you say that with me. Come on. How much more? Say it again. How much more? You might want to highlight that phrase in your Bible and remind yourself of it every day, because it's important to remember and to walk by faith in this reality. Notice I did not say run by faith. We do not run by faith. We walk by faith. Let everyone else run and wear themselves out. But we are going to walk in rest, in a confident assurance that God is who he says he is and will do everything he's promised to do. You need to realize you matter deeply to your Father. And if you believe it, clap your hands and give God praise. Come on. You got a good Father. And some of us need to be reminded of that. If we knew how good he was, we wouldn't be so worried. His love and his acceptance is mind-boggling. It's like nothing on earth. You don't get that kind of love here on earth. And our Father, thank God, he's not an absentee father, but he's a father that's so good. He didn't just wind up the universe and then take a step back and leave us to our own devices. No, according to Scripture, he is intimately involved in the details of our lives, and he cares deeply about providing for every one of you. How much more does God love you than the other things that he created? I'll tell you, infinitely more. And that's precisely the idea that Jesus is trying to communicate to us. But then we have to keep reading, because in 25, he drives home this argument from lesser to greater. But this next argument, it is the devastating blow of the worry monster's hustle. When we understand that the Bible teaches about worry, when we start to understand what the Bible says, we discover that worry is one of, I'm going to read it to you, but you got to understand, worry is one of the greatest time wasters and life suckers that could ever get a hold of us. And worry is just a big emotional leech, and it sucks the life out of it. Listen, you're not enjoying the abundant life when you're worried. And that's where some of you are living, and it adds nothing to the value of your life, absolutely nothing in return. So look at 25. Who of you by worrying, in 26, look at these great questions. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? 26, since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Boy, isn't that great questions? Of course it's great questions, because it's great questions from Jesus. And the reason they're great questions is because they're reminding his original audience, and I believe they are reminding us today in 2020, March 2020, that we are actually in control of very little in this life. And to all my control freaks, I got a word for you today. And the word is this: you may be in charge, but you are not in control. Am I talking to anybody? If you're sitting next to a control freak, don't even look at him. Come on. And then Jesus gives another argument from lesser to greater. He says, if you can't do even these simple things, like add another hour to your life, why are you worried about whether your Father's going to provide for your basic needs like food and clothing and shelter? And here's what we need to think about when we're applying Jesus' words to our lives today. I'm talking to Calvary Church. We think that we are the ones, I get it, who provide every little thing in our life. We think we're the ones that provide the food, and we think we're the ones that provide the clothing, and we think we're the ones that provide the basic necessities, so we worry. You want to know why we worry? Because we think we're the ones that are responsible and that it's our job. But I hear the Spirit of God speaking to a whole lot of us today, and you want to know what the word is? Simmer down, child. Chill out. Simmer down. It's not your job. As a matter of fact, God says today, it's my job. Yeah. And I'm going to give you permission today. Some of you can go ahead today and resign. Go ahead and resign as general manager of the universe. And God says, I want my job back. Because how's it been working for you? Hadn't really been working, hasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. You've been trying to control everything. Fact of the matter is, you're winding up sick and depressed and anxious and worried and stressed out and frustrated and high blood pressure and headaches and migraines. And are y'all getting this? And I hear the Lord saying today, matter of fact, just lift up your hands and receive. The Spirit of God says, just like you can't add a single hour to your life or a single inch to your stature, neither can you truly provide for your own food and clothing and shelter. I hear the Lord say to you today, that's my job. I take care of the birds and the flowers, and I'll take care of you as well. And if you're thankful for that, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. So you aren't self-sufficient. I'm sorry. You're not self-sufficient. You're not self-sustaining. We are not autonomous beings. We're dependent beings. We're dependent on God to supply every one of our needs. It's all from Him. He's faithful. What's the title? He's faithful, so don't worry. What does that mean? Trust Him. Trust Him. He's faithful, so don't worry. And that's why Jesus said in verse 30, look at this, your Father knows that you need them. Well, I'm not sure if God is really aware of what I... No! Your Father knows exactly what you need. So if we're going to put a stop to the worry monster's hustle, every day some of y'all being hustled, the hustle's over, we got to realize, here it is, that worry will never solve a single problem. Did you get that? Not in the area of money, not in any area of your life. Worry will not solve a single problem. All right, second way to fight the worry monster. Write it down. Come on. You got to recognize that charity, and I'm going to use this word because I want to give you the meaning in just a minute. But the word charity, put that down. Recognize that charity is the most sound financial investment you will ever make in your life. Now, I realize that sounds radical because it raises all kinds of questions. But what about retirement? But what about my savings account? But what about investing? And the list goes on. And certainly, those are important things. But please hear me out, church. Before we receive communion, hear me out. Because Kim and I, after 26 years of marriage, we have discovered something from Jesus on this that has given us great peace of mind in the midst of uncertainty. And this is not a trick question, but how many of you want peace of mind in the midst of uncertainty? I'm talking about peace that passes all kinds of understanding. I don't know what 2020 has in store. My God, I don't know what tomorrow has in store. But if you want peace, you're going to have to realize, here's the deal. Everything else we do with our money in this life is high risk, no exception. Listen, I know what they say. Never mind your financial planner that tells you, you know, about these mutual funds, because think about it, even mutual funds are categorized this way, high, moderate, and low risk. But in reality, here's what I want you to understand. Every single penny we invest into an earthly fund of any kind is high risk by its very nature, because there's no guarantee in this life. You cannot get any kind of guaranteed security with your money here in this life. You can certainly make wise decisions, and we want to teach you to do that, and you can make wise decisions based on probabilities, but there are no guarantees in this life. They don't exist. I mean, just think about the last 10 days. Just the last 10 days, it's like the Dow plunged, and then it looks like it's roaring back, and then it plunges. They say the lowest has been early 2000s, then it starts roaring back, all this kind of stuff. The only airtight place that we can truly invest God's money that He has loaned to us, the only way in which we can get a 100% secure return on investment is when we use the money He has loaned us and invest it, watch, into His kingdom. And this is why I'm telling you, Kim and I are so thankful, and I have no problem saying this, and I want to say it more and more, but we are so thankful to be able to give away lots of money every year to the Lord and to His people and to His church. It's because it is never a loss. It's never a risk. It's never something we look at as an expense. I'm going to tell you why some of you are having a problem. Because you're looking at your kingdom giving, watch this, as an expense rather than an investment. Don't miss this. Don't miss what I just said. You do have expenses. There are things that are expenses in your life, but our kingdom giving is not an expense. It is an investment. And you need to understand that. That very word charity that I used it on purpose. Are you ready for this?
The word charity in our English language comes from the Greek word, are you ready? Charis, which means, are you ready? Here it is, grace. When we say charity, do you know what we're saying? Free gift, grace giving. Verse 33, that's what it's all about. Sell, give, provide purses for yourself that will not wear out. There it is, don't you miss it. Then it goes on, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. That's it. Hey, what is it saying? That phrase right there, a treasure in heaven that will never fail. How many of you know banks fail? Funds fail. Markets fail. Human institutions fail. But whatever I invest in eternity through my charitable or grace giving, here it is. It stands secure. Listen, I know a lot of people who have money in the bank. I know a lot of people who have money in their business. I know people who got money in funds and they got money in investments, but they are so financially insecure because the focus of their lives is on the shaky ground of the temporary things that we live in rather than on the internal investment of the things that God really cares about. And sometimes I wonder, does the church really care about what God cares about? Now, I hope you understand in everything that I'm saying here, what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have investments and you shouldn't have savings for retirement. And I'm not saying, you know, you shouldn't be purchasing a home. I'm not saying any of that. As a matter of fact, Kim and I are attempting to do all of those things. But we actually, my point is this, we actually made a decision to give a higher percentage of our income every year into kingdom than we do into retirement. And why would we live this way? Because it's the only investment that is 100% sure. And we discovered last week that we're gonna leave it all behind one day, but whatever we spend on kingdom is gonna be there when we get there. And as a pastor, I wanna encourage you to pursue that mindset, because what I'm teaching you today, I know it sounds backward, but this stuff frees you. God wants you to be free, free, just joy inducing. This stuff that I'm preaching is so good. You can be free from the rat race of this materialistic world that we live in, and you can be free from the hustle of greed, the hustle of envy. And it's not that we can't own nice stuff. That's not what I'm saying. There's a fine line between owning nice stuff, watch, and nice stuff owning us. And remember, people who live in fear, and let me tell you something, people are gonna, they're afraid, they're gonna be more afraid, they're gonna be more afraid as we continue in this year, they're gonna be more afraid, but church, you better hear me. People who live by faith, not by fear, they are a different kind of people. Watch, people who live in fear, listen to them. They hoard, they hold on to things tighter and tighter, and they live in bondage. But people who are free and trust their Father, they just keep giving away and letting go and letting go, and they live freer and freer lives. And if I'm talking to you, somebody say yes. And when it owns us, oh, how sad, it's a prison, it's bondage. Because those who live that way ultimately never have enough. Some of you, that's how you live. You just never have enough, and you're worried about money, and you're worried about your life, and you're worried about all this stuff, and you're worried about investing, and you're worried about giving in the kingdom, and just worried. It just controls you. You're controlled by the spirit of mammon. As a matter of fact, when I say to you, come on, let's give for this project. Let's move out. Let's go. Let's take this. Let's buy this property. Let's build this church. Let's go. And the first thing you wrestle with are the thoughts. The spirit of mammon speaking to you. Well, you can't. Well, you better be. Well, you better watch. Well, I mean, and you live in bondage instead of trusting God. This third way that we stop this worry monster, and I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a powerful moment as we receive together and be reminded. I'm just trying to remind you this good stuff, and then we're going to be reminded of what Jesus has accomplished. But you got to recognize that generosity is ultimately connected, watch this, to the heart, not the wallet. Generosity is connected to the heart, not the wallet, not the purse. The heart is such a huge deal in Scripture. As a matter of fact, do you see it there for where, verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart. By the way, that word heart is really what you're passionate about. And I want to tell you, I get it. A lot of preachers over the years beat people up using this verse of Scripture. And I want to make something real clear. I am your pastor. I am not your master. Amen. I do not beat you, I feed you. And I've heard a lot of preachers, they love to beat people up with stuff like this, and they say things like, if you're not generous, it just shows how dirty and perverted you are and distant from God, and it's important to remember. I mean, I'm telling you, they'll go off on you, and you're sitting going, my God, I thought, you know, I don't get it, I don't understand. Just confused and neurotic and schizophrenic. God can't make his mind up about me. One of the things that I preach is the new covenant. And the reality is Jesus is using that word heart as a metaphor for passions. And number two, don't ever forget this. This is why you go, I'm doing a series. Listen, I told the team this week, I'm doing a series after Easter and I'm calling it How to Study Your Bible Without Getting Confused. Because if you don't know how to rightly divide scripture, you are going to live a very confused life. And so number two, remember this teaching is being given to a bunch of Jewish people when? Before Jesus died on the cross. Before he rose from the dead, which was the launch of what? It was the launch of a new covenant. And so as I'm constantly reminding you over and over, and I can't say it enough, one of the core promises of the new covenant is that whoever receives Christ receives a brand new heart. So in that context, the concept of heart is speaking of what? Your brand new identity, your new set of priorities, and now fulfilling, so fulfilling to us, because why? We are new creations. Come on, somebody. The old is gone and the new has come. So what I'm not saying that if you're a Christian and you're not yet living as generous as you could be, I'm not saying that you've got a bad or a wicked or an evil heart. I had to one time correct, you know, an up-and-coming elder, because every time that elder would pray for somebody, you know, he'd say, my God, your dirty heart. And he'd talk about all this stuff, how dirty you are and distant from God. Can I tell you something? This is very important. The exact opposite is true to those who trust Christ, that we now have good hearts. Come on, somebody. We have new hearts. We have hearts that are clean. Come on. We have hearts that are close to God, desiring to honor him. What I do believe God's saying here, though, is this, that we'll generously discover that our passions tend to follow our money. That's all I'm saying, and I want you to think about it, because for some of you, it's not a heart issue or a character issue. Do you know what it is now? It's a trust issue. It's you growing in trust and beginning to believe this. Now, where your heart is, or watch this, I'll say it like this. Where your treasures go, don't miss this, passion flows. Okay, so Kim's grandfather died years ago, and Kim and I became beneficiaries, even to this day. We're beneficiaries of shares in a company, a great company. That was a gift. That gift that he gave us when he died instantly made us investors in the company. Now, prior to owning the investments that were given to us, how often do you think that Kim and I thought about that company? Never. And you want to know what's weird? The day after I got the gift, I'm like, what's going on with the stocks on that thing? We need to check this thing out. Like all of a sudden, like I didn't care about this company. I didn't even know about this company. But watch, once I had money in, oh, y'all don't get this. I was passionate. You know what I realized? Do you want to know why a lot of people aren't passionate about their local church? Because they aren't investors. They don't care whether the church succeeds. They don't care about the next generation. They don't care whether the doors are open. They don't care if we take this gospel around the world. They don't care. They don't care about anything. And I'll tell you why. I know when they don't care. They don't care because they're not investors. Their heart's not in it. You know why? Because their treasure's not there. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where treasures go, don't miss this, passion flows. And I know this to be true I know this from life experience, but my point here is this. Living generously has very little to do with the size of your bank account, and it has everything to do, watch this, with the love that's in your heart. So these powerful truths right here, I just wanted to give them to you, and I realize it's a bit countercultural, but everything that Jesus talked about, it was like, wow, I mean, this is counterintuitive. Everything he said, are you telling me to be blessed? Wow, I learned how to give, and the first, they're going to be last, and those who are least, they're going to be the greatest, and the way to true greatness is humility, and the way to real productivity is not restlessness, but restfulness, and the way up is down, and the way to truly be blessed and rich in life is generosity and contentment. Jesus even said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I've shared with you this many, many times. As Christians, we aren't under the law. And I hate it when preachers beat people up, and I hear it all the time. On TV and on radio, preachers beating the you-know-what out of God's people. If you don't give, then God's not going to bless you. And you're a believer. That is so convoluted and manipulative. We don't give because we think God is going to give us more. We give because we got a revelation of everything that he's already given us in Christ Jesus. I am blessed to be a blessing. You're a blessed people. And I said it last week. We don't give to get. We get to give. It's a privilege. It ought to be a privilege for this church to say we partner with God in the declaration and the demonstration of this gospel of grace to everyone, every day, everywhere. Well, I love this. Look at Proverbs 3. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Look at this. It's Old Testament proverb. Law of Moses, but it offers some very timeless universal truth. Look at this. Honor the Lord with your wealth. First fruit of your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. I'm telling you, makes you feel so rich. Can I tell you, church, when you learn to give, you're going to live the rich life. No matter the size. I'm not even talking about the size of your bank account. When you begin to see your life as a conduit of the love of God, say it out loud. Say, I'm loved, so I love. Say, I'm blessed, so I bless. Say, I'm forgiven, so I forgive. Now clap your hands and give God praise. Come on. And I'm sorry. I just apologize. I'm so tired of this televangelist style preachers misquoting Jesus for their own financial gain, and it's so sad, and I get where the sentiment comes from. People upset about it. We live in a world where this kind of stuff, just begging for money and begging for money. Let me tell you something. We live in a world where financial scandals are broadcast on the internet. We see it everywhere, and even though these scandals are relatively rare among churches, it still puts a bad taste in people's mouth, and I get that, and it should, because Jesus himself, how do we miss this? He's the one that actually warned us about false teachers, he said, who would come along in every generation attempting to misuse the name of Christ. And he said, they will misuse the name of Christ for their own financial gain. How do we miss that? And yet I know firsthand, I know as a pastor, I know now as a network overseer, I know as a Christian for most of my life, that most churches, most are not dishonest or greedy when it comes to money. And I know that I can speak on behalf of Calvary. I don't know about every church, but this church, when I say that we're not all about money. This church celebrated 60 years last year of faithful ministry. We are about Jesus. We are about spreading the good news of God's grace. We are about seeing lives transformed. And yes, it takes money to do all of that. And I just want to pull the curtain back for just a moment. And I am so deeply thankful. And I'm going to say it. I am so thankful. And somebody's saying, well, why are you saying it during this series? Because I think it's important. If you are truly a kingdom investor, this ought to matter to you. I am so thankful to be a part of a ministry like Calvary where there is such a high degree of transparency in the way that we handle God's money. We are a church with an amazing board of directors and finance committee, and I am also pleased to introduce you today to Steve Chaney, who is the managing partner of Chaney & Associates, who is our brand new CFO, and I'm going to be posting today a message from him on my social media because I want you to hear from him. It is absolutely exciting what has happened in the last month under their leadership and what has been happening at Calvary. And in addition to Steve Chaney, our new CFO, and myself working with our board and our finance committee, did you know at Calvary we add another layer by hiring a third-party CPA firm that has no relationship to Calvary Church to conduct yearly audits to confirm that we are operating at the highest legal and ethical standards in handling God's money? And why in the world am I doing this? Well, I get it. It costs a lot to do what we do. It costs a whole lot to put the extras in what we do to handle the money this way. But I'm telling you that when we give to the Lord through this church, and the reason why I tell you is because when we give, we can rest assured that our gifts are being handled with integrity, that there's no funny business behind the scenes. And if there is, you better believe it. God will reveal it and we will deal with it. And yes, it takes a lot of extra money and effort and energy to run a church this way. We could do it the cheap way. We could do it the cutting corners way, but we don't do that. And I'm so grateful that we can now here at Calvary know exactly where everything's going, and that there are many intentional and internal and external checks and balances to ensure that every dollar we use for the kingdom is going to work. And I mean every dollar. So that's good. That's about what I thought I'd get right there. But the fact of the matter is, can I tell you? You better thank God for this, because what's on this house is what flows into your family. And that's why you got leadership that care about this. And I got to land the plane, but I know, I get it. I know you got to get out of here and beat the Baptists and Presbyterians to the buffet line. I get it. Get out of the way. Beat the old Baptists. Get out of here. Gosh. I know, I got to go too. We got a 1 o'clock worship experience. But I just want to conclude with a letter that I came across last year, and I'm gonna warn you that it's emotional. And I debated on whether to read this letter or not, because I know that some of you as parents will be able to identify with a loss like this, the loss of a child. So I debated on whether even to read it. But I think it's a powerful illustration. And so I decided, I think I'll read it. It's an old story I came across written to Dear Abby. Some of us don't know nothing about that. That was years ago. But I'm going to read it, and it goes like this. A parents wrote this letter. Dear Abby, let me share an experience with you. On June 2nd, 1940, a little girl was born to us. She cost us money from the moment she was born. As she grew from babyhood to girlhood, she cost us even more. Her dresses and shoes were more expensive, and we had to pay the doctor through all those childhood sicknesses. She was even more expensive during her school and teen years. She needed long dresses to go to parties, and when she went to college, we discovered, along with other parents, that all college expenses are not listed in the catalog. Then after graduation, she fell in love and married. That wedding cost a lot of money too. Then 5 months after her marriage, she suddenly grew ill, and within a week, she passed away. Here's what the parent said. She hasn't cost us a penny since the day we walked away from her grave. They say as long as the church is alive, she'll cost. And the more alive she is, the more money she'll cost. Only A dead church is no longer expensive. So think it over when people say, oh, the church just costs too much. And then the writer ended and these parents signed their name. When I read that, I cried. The question, does the church cost? You better believe it. By the grace of God, Calvary Church, it costs. Why? Because this church, she's alive. She's alive, on the move, following the Spirit of God, lives being transformed one life at a time. And it costs money to be alive, to reach and to teach and to equip and to train and disciple and counsel and support missions and plant churches and impact communities and gospel circles and loving our cities and loving the world. And I just want to thank you as your pastor for being such a gracious church for over 60 years now. And my prayer is that my generation and those that are coming up behind me, we continue in that tradition of sacrifice and generosity and faithfulness, which is true success. And I'm confident that we will. And I hope that you're encouraged today and you begin to realize that there is no fear and there is no worry, and that you will join me, church. I don't care what goes on in our world this year. We decide to make richness toward God our life's priority because we're investing and we're passionate, and there's a lot of worthy stuff out there. But don't you ever forget the third value of Calvary Church, which is the local church. And by the way, we have 10 values, but our third value is this one here, and I close by reading it. We believe the local church is God's plan A. There is no plan B. The church is a big deal to God and a big deal to us. The church is God's family on earth, an orphaned world. What's an orphan? It's a fatherless child. Do you want to know what we're dealing with in our culture? People who don't believe they have a good father. We're dealing with an orphan spirit. That's not us, church. We have a good father. An orphan world needs a family, and the church is how God meets that needs. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a church like that, and I'm thankful to be in this church with every one of you. I love you and I honor you, church. If you believe and receive today, would you clap your hands? I come against worry today. I come against the worry monsters, hustle and hurt and harassment. In the name of Jesus, this church will not live in fear. This church will walk in divine authority. It will not overcome you. You will overcome it. It will not reign over you. You will reign over it. In Jesus' name, clap your hands and give God praise like you really believe it. Come on, give Him praise. Church, every one of you lift up your hands, lift it up high. January, we started making this confession. We did it all February, and we're gonna make our 2020 confession. Let's say it out loud. Listen, I don't care what's going on in the world, we're gonna keep declaring it and believing it. Ready? Read. As I give today to the ongoing ministry of my church, I am believing the Lord for, say it, jobs and better jobs. For what? Raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decreased, blessings and increase. Say it. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs in 2020, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel.